Well, my friends, coming up next week is the Washington State GOP convention, where we're going to do this like they do nationally. We're going to pick a nominee for governor. We're going to make sure we have all our ducks in a row to avoid problems we had last time. That's just one of the amazing things happening around out here, because this year Republicans are poised for victory. But something else happened before then. Three new initiatives are now coming up, which are going to help repeal Governor Jay Inslee's legacy, and I couldn't be happier. One of the architects behind these initiatives joins me now in studio, chairman of the Washington State GOP, representative from Aberdeen, Representative Jim Walsh. Thank you for being with us today, sir.
Good to be here in person, Ari. We sort of no good deed goes unpunished. I was going to come see you in person today, and there was a terrible wreck on Interstate 5 coming up here. So a little behind schedule, but that's been the story of my life lately. 15 minutes late to everything, everywhere.
So you're ready to run for president, then? That's better than Joe Biden. What is he, like an hour late to his own press conferences?
That's fine.
Don't even worry about it. A little traffic jam. He doesn't have any good excuses. They're just taking him out of the cryo chamber or whatever they're doing with him. So tell me about these initiatives. You got three of them.
Correct. So this is the third set of three. As listeners know, three were passed into law during the last led session in Olympia. And those were three critical ones: restoring the police pursuits, the Parents' Bill of Rights, and no state income tax based on personal income in Washington. Those three are in law. They're phasing in right now. We don't have to worry about those anymore. Then three will be on the ballot this November already. And those are really the key tax reforms: repeal the cap and trade tax, repeal the capital gains excise tax, and opt out of the payroll tax that funds this broken long-term care benefit program. So those three are already on the ballot in November. Now we've got three more. And these were driven really by a series of town halls that we've done around the state, just in person, one-on-one, handshake, question and answer type town halls, where three big issues have come up. The biggest one is this natural gas kind of semi-ban that we've talked about before, and I know you've talked about. The people who supported it, and that includes the outgoing governor, played some parliamentary tricks bringing that one through. The lieutenant governor even acknowledged that it was constitutionally problematic, the process that it went through in Olympia. And then they played some other gimmicks. They put an emergency clause on the bill, now law, so we couldn't do a referendum, but we can do an initiative to overturn it. And that's one of the three new ones: repeal this semi-ban on natural gas hookups and homes and businesses. The second one is something that really has just been the news more lately here, but this issue of squatters' rights.
Oh, yeah.
And how does someone who either broke into a place and is in that place or on that land completely illegally, can they stay there if they claim squatters' rights? Or how can somebody who had a lease on a place, was renting, and stopped making rent payments, started trashing the place, they want to stick around? Mm-hmm. What can we do in state law to help the property owner get the squatters off of their land or out of their building or house or whatever it is? The law is a little uncertain here, so this initiative clears it up. Someone who's squatting has no rights to stay there, and the property owner can kick them out. And then the third new one is an older issue, but one that I've been hearing more about lately, especially after Trooper Chris Gadd, was killed in the line of duty recently. People are fed up with the sanctuary state stuff. Mm-hmm. They want immigration law to be enforced in Washington State. And you always enforce law with a sense of consideration for every human, but they want the law enforced.
Sure.
And so the third of the new initiatives gets rid of the sanctuary state nonsense and says that local law enforcement can and should cooperate with federal immigration authorities.
So is all this, if you get enough signatures, if you go through the entire process, could all this conceivably be on this November's ballot? Or are we talking next year? How does this work?
It's a tight window, but the three new ones could be on the ballot in November. Now, it's very ambitious. These are not initiatives to the legislature, as I drew up the first set of six. These are initiatives straight to the people. So the window is still opened for these to gather signatures enough in soon enough in order to be on the ballot this November. Now, it's very tight, Ari. The deadline is July 5th to gather the signatures. And really, they like to have them a couple of days before. And that's right around the July 4th holiday, of course. So the idea is we really would need to get the signatures by kind of the end of June. So that's not much time.
So wait a second. Half of April. So we're just going to put that aside for a minute because you got to get rolling. So you're talking May and June, essentially really? 60 days to get this done.
That's basically it. And that would be record time. But these issues, especially the natural gas resolution, are hot issues. People are really worked up about it. And I think it's worth a shot. And there's a hopeful sign. Now, Ari, you know, I've drafted a lot of these initiatives lately, but I don't have to be the one who drafts them. Somebody else could pick up the ball, and I've noticed on the Secretary of State's website, some people have already picked up the ball, and they've done their versions of a couple of these new initiatives. So maybe one of those takes off. I really don't, mind like whose name is on the sponsor line. That doesn't matter at all to me. I just want to see these reforms get traction, get momentum, and get going and get into law. Now, if we can't make the 60-day threshold, and I admit it's very tight, we will try it again next year. But these are the next three issues, the big ones I've heard from people. This natural gas thing, getting that straightened out so you can still have natural gas in your house or your work. The squatters' rights issue, which is just growing, and the left is pushing back and saying it's not really an issue, and that's wrong. Mm-hmm. We know it is an issue. And then the immigration issue, the sanctuary state issue. We got to get this stuff straightened out.
So your mirror image, your evil version, Shasti Conrad. That's my words,
oh,
not yours.
Oh, Shasti's not evil.
She's just kidding. She blocked me on Twitter, so I don't know how nice a person can be.
You can be very intimidating.
That's what they say. That's what I hear. I met her in person. People who meet me in person don't usually block me on Twitter. I actually introduced myself as president of a synagogue as opposed to what I do for a living, and I saw her giggle a little bit. She knew what was going on there. But anyway, Shasti Conrad has said that if they get a supermajority, her goal is to get a supermajority so they can clean up the Washington State Constitution. Do you think that means get rid of the initiative process?
Yeah, possibly. But, you know, Ari, my goal is to look like Brad Pitt. I mean, come on. That's not going to happen. I mean, it's, you know, they can wish for a supermajority. And, you know, are they closer to it than they should be? Yeah, they are. This is in the legislature in Olympia. But, Ari, we're turning the tide. You know, they're about as close to a supermajority as they're going to get. And right now, I think they're going to be looking at that dream in their rearview mirror come this fall. I'd like to have a supermajority in Olympia, Ari. Boy, think of all the stuff we could fix if we had a supermajority.
I'd love for Washington to be a red state, but, you know, some things just ain't happening.
Well, that one's not either. And really, you know, they'd probably try to get rid of the initiatives, Ari. They'd probably try to do some really crazy stuff about, you know, gun rights. They'd probably do crazy stuff about private. I mean, all this stuff that's great in our state constitution, they try to screw up. But the real thing they want to do with the supermajority, if they ever got it, is run up debt. Mm-hmm. Our state's constitutional limits on how much we can borrow are very good, and they're very strong. And they've prevented Washington State from becoming like California or New York or Illinois or some of these states where the state's in bad financial trouble because of state debt. We have a relatively light state debt load in this state because it takes a supermajority to agree to borrow. Mm-hmm. And if they got a supermajority, they would just start borrowing, and they'd bankrupt the state, and all the public pension benefits would be in bad shape like they are in California, Illinois. I mean, and we just don't want that. I mean, as I've said before, you know, Washington State, it's a little progressive in some of its traditions, but it's very fiscally conservative in its traditions. And I think when they talk about their supermajority, they're talking about wrecking that fiscal conservatism that has always been part of Washington's traditions. And that's why I live here, Ari. That's why a lot of us live here. It's because we aren't as screwy as some of the other West Coast states, and I'd like to keep it that way.
I couldn't have said it better myself. In the last few minutes, we have with GOP Chair Jim Walsh, who's also the representative from Aberdeen. As I mentioned earlier, you have the Washington State Convention coming up. You have two men who are competing in the governor's race for the GOP nomination. I tell people all the time, Twitter isn't real life. Stop believing what you're seeing on Twitter. But at the same time, with all this viciousness out there, and I've gotten a little bit bleed over in person, what happens after this? Some of these supporters are going to be disappointed. We really don't want to have a thing where we have a divided party going into such an important election year. How do we deal with the party unity?
Well, First of all, the convention coming up in Spokane, starting on the 18th, so it's not this coming weekend, it's next weekend, it's a real convention. This isn't just an empty ceremony. It's going to be a deal. I mean, there are going to be candidates there. And the governor's getting a lot of attention, but there's more than just the governor. We're going to be nominating all the other statewide, so lieutenant governor, state attorney general, commissioner of public lands, insurance commissioner, auditor, treasurer, all the statewides, plus the 10 congressional candidates, plus the one U.S. Senate candidate. So, I mean, there's a lot of action going on. Mm-hmm. And there are multiple candidates, and they're going to be working delegates. It's going to be, and people have asked me for a real convention. It's going to be a real convention.
Are you going to have the hats? If you don't have the hats, it's not a real convention.
I'm not a big hat guy. I'm already on the record as not being a hat guy.
Balloons? Are we having the balloons?
There might be some balloons.
Okay, there we go.
It's going to be real. I mean, there are going to be probably some deals made on the floor. There are probably going to be, you know, I don't want to say brokered convention, but there are going to be some things decided on the floor of the convention in Spokane. It's going to be real. And real, it sometimes is a little messy. But that's interesting. That's fun. That's invigorating, I think. Now, the key part is, as you say, we want to make sure that we bring everybody together when the process is over. Mm-hmm. And I am concerned that some of the rhetoric and social media rhetoric has gotten very hot, and this is among conservatives. It's not even across party lines. And we need to dial some of that down. And I'm starting, you know, it's one of these, it's like raising a teenage kid, Ari. You don't want to, you got to let them do some of their thing and make their mistakes and learn. You can't, you know, call them to the carpet on everything they do. But when they start to really get off track, then you want to try to put them back on track. So, I mean, I don't address every nasty gram that's put on social media and every weird email that's sent out to people. You can't address all of them individually, but you can say, look, guys, dial it down.
Sure.
I mean, we have two strong candidates for governor, the former Congressman Dave Reichert and the guy from Tri-Cities, former school board member Semi Byrd. Their supporters are very passionate for each of them, and that's fine. But we need to stop this the bomb throwing at each other, because in the end, the two candidates, they're not that much different.
I would actually argue that a lot of the bomb throwing isn't the candidate. I'm seeing it from their supporters.
The hardest core supporters.
And that's the biggest problem, actually, because, for example, I endorsed one of the candidates, and I came out for that candidate because I was getting so tired of the supporters of the other candidate and nothing being done about it, and it actually alienated me. And I know some people say it's happening in the other direction, but it'd be nice to bring everybody together because, guys, what you have to understand is you're seeing poll after poll after poll that shows that Reichert is going to beat Ferguson. Whether it's Reichert, whether it's Byrd, whatever the case may be, it's still going to be close. And if a whole bunch of people stay home, that means you're just handing it over to Jay Inslee 3.0 or 4.0 at this point. Yeah, and imagine what the state will be
just
like.
Just gruesome to consider. But it's going to be my job at the state party to try to bring those people together after our process is over. And we've got still a kind of two-step process. I mean, the convention endorsement is one step, but we still have the state primary in August. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep in mind that each of these steps is the step toward November, and November is the end game. We want to make sure that a common sense conservative candidate is vibrant and strong and peaking in November, peaking in, you know, April or May or June or even August. That's fine. But we don't want to peak too soon. We want our candidate to peak when people are voting in November. And, you know, one of the things we tried to do in reshuffling our schedule during an election year is set our people up so that they are peaking at the right time. And that's the goal.
So you want to make sure that Tony Stark's holding the Infinity Stones, guys, and not Thanos. Just before we let you go, what would you say to people who say if their candidate doesn't get through, they're staying home?
Well, you know, conservatives who stay home elect radical leftists, and please don't do that. I will be talking to you through many channels between now and November and encouraging you not to do that. This is a beautiful state. It's a beautiful day today. This is a beautiful place in the world to live, and we need to protect what's good. And there are people who aren't doing that. Help us protect what's good.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself. And to follow your example, I'll just say this. I have been guilty of all the shenanigans on social media. I'm done. I'm tired of this nonsense. Unless you come after me personally or anything like that, I am done. We did our thing, whatever it was, for good or for bad, we're done. Now it's time to let the delegates decide. Now it's time to let the people decide. Now it's time to let Washington State decide which direction they want to go in. You want to double down on crazy? Or do you maybe say, hey, there's something better here? Representative Jim Walsh, chairman of the Washington State GOP, really appreciate you being here today.
Oh, it's always good to see Ari, and let's just keep going.
Awesome. Couldn't have said it better myself. I say that every time we have you on the show. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues, including your good news giveaway, your good news headlines, your chance to win a $50 gift card, plus so much more. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.